Good morning, and welcome to the Wilf Wake Up Call. My name is Tana Hartman. I'm your guest this morning. Our engineer is Dick Paddock, and our guest this morning is Diane Robertson.
Good morning.
Welcome, Diane. She is with the Orange County Campaign for Change and was a key member of the grassroots organizing efforts here in Orange County during the campaign.
That's right.
One of the key players in helping us realize the the tremendous victory for the Obama campaign.
Thank you.
Welcome, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Orange County Campaign for Change. What exactly is that? And I understand that it's here to build on the momentum of the grassroots mobilization that we saw was unprecedented.
Right.
Absolutely unprecedented during the campaign. What is it? Where are you going now?
Well, as you said, we had the most amazing grassroots political campaign ever in the history of politics on the planet. And something like that doesn't just blow up, happen, and then go away. So there was a tremendous amount of energy. I mean, we'd walk down the streets and people were constantly saying, what's next? What are we going to do? How are we going to keep this going? And in the, prophetic way of the campaign, they anticipated that. And about mid-December, put out a call to their constituents and said, we'd like you to have house meetings and talk to people and see what they want to do next. So I had a house meeting here in the Carrboro area. I was one of the change crew chiefs in Carrboro. Since I live here, this was the area that I worked in. And then Craig Perrin from Hillsborough, who was a change crew chief, had a meeting. And Charles Coble from Chapel Hill had a meeting. So just coincidentally, we had geographical diversity in where these meetings were held. And when we got together and talked about it, we had over 100 people at our homes for those meetings in December. And the campaign sent us materials and questions, and they wanted to know what we wanted to do. What were the issues that were important to us? How we thought we could move forward? How much time people were interested in putting in this? And out of that, we pulled together the other change crew chiefs and some of the activists from the community and started meeting amongst ourselves and said, what should we do? And we said, hey, let's have a larger meeting. Invite whoever wants to come, other grassroots groups, other partisan groups, and just see where people want to go with this. And we just had that meeting on Wednesday at the community church.
Great. And how was the turnout?
The turnout was wonderful. I was a little disappointed when all that rain and wind came. I said, we're going to have a depressed turnout. We really had an incredible turnout. We had at least 100 people, if not
Great.
More, and probably was a very productive meeting as a result of that size. We had breakout groups where we focused on political action, community and grassroots organizing, service, and technology and communication. And I will tell you that grassroots organizing and service were the largest breakout groups, which was interesting, to see where people really want to put their energy and effort.
Well, tell me what did they mean by that? I mean, as we were saying just before the show, everybody thinks change. I mean, change differently, and that's a big on the blogs. There's a lot of talk about change. What sorts of change? What sort of changes are you all looking for?
Well,
want to work for?
We're taking our cues from now our president, President Obama, and the way he approached his own organizing efforts and the campaign, which is what do we want? I mean, he had a vision, he had a plan, and within that, what do the people want to see changed? And I think the mandate for change was certainly for a different way of doing business in Washington. We're seeing the tussles and struggles about that right now over the stimulus package, but also that we could be effective. I'll speak for myself. I think I've always been an activist. I've always been interested in civic affairs and politics. But I will say, over the last 8 years, I have just felt completely helpless, that there really wasn't any entree to make a difference, to make a change. And I think probably a lot of people felt that way, and that piece of me sort of atrophied, and they said, this is beating your head against a wall. Now, suddenly, you feel like you're not going to get everything you want, but there is an opportunity because there is a new way of thinking for your voice to be heard and people to pay attention. That, coupled with the fact that the Obama campaign really was a community grassroots campaign where the people with their small contributions and their hard work brought about this change. I think the people at the top are realizing we better listen. We better pay attention. So even old-style politics is going to have to make adjustments because they can count votes, too. So I think that we'll see some change, you know, in traditional political candidates, the kinds of things that they run on, because they will hear from people at the bottom who now say, I'm going to let them know what matters to me. I think that there's also, this community has a long tradition of activism, and some of that is now being channeled into specific areas. We had several grassroots groups attend who were interested in the waste transfer station issue here in Orange County.
We saw some victory there.
Right, and people who were involved with the airport. And so to have sort of I don't want to say we're going to be an umbrella organization, but a base of support that other grassroots groups can go to and say, here, these are issues that matter to us. Our community is bigger than the block you live on or the subdivision you live in. So there'll be a base of support for those kinds of things. You know, I'm not sure all of the changes. I will tell you one thing that I feel is one of the best things that's happened in the short run. Our president called for us to renew our service to the country, and the opportunity around Martin Luther King Day was perfect with the inauguration and Martin Luther King Day. I will tell you, I didn't know that initially Martin Luther King Day was established as a day of service. I've always seen it as a day of commemoration, and I've always, you know, acted in that way. But when it was presented to us as a country and as a community to do service at our house meeting, I said, well, what can we do right here? We partnered with a program that started in Durham by John Parker called Yes We Cans. And he came up with this idea of using the Yes We Can and turning it into a food collection program. And we said, gee, that's something we can do. It's something that people will, you know, latch on to. And frankly, we think it'll be kind of easy to get up and running right before Christmas. So a few people met. We figured out some things we could do. I found three fantastic women who were part of the Obama campaign, Deb Levin, Margot Ringenberg, and Lisa Markusen, who said, okay, we'll try to figure out how to make this work. Within a few days, they had a merchant, Twigs, said, sure, set up in front of our store. Office Supplies and More in Timberline said, yeah, we'll have a box here. People said, oh, I want to collect in my neighborhood. So Spring Valley, the Trails, Downing Creek, Bean Traders, all of these people said, yeah, let's do this. We collected Carolina Friends School, which always has a big Martin Luther King celebration. One of their students, Dan Jubilier, was a great volunteer with us during the campaign. I said, Dan, why don't you do this at Friends School during MLK Day? He got the word out. We collected, Orange County and Carolina Friends School collected over 4,000 pounds of food within 5 days for the North Carolina Eastern Food Bank, which supplies Orange County and other counties, at a time when they needed it the most. January, the shelves are bare, people have given everything at Christmas, and yet the need is even greater now. Well, that was an immediate response to the call for service. It was something we all could say, yeah, we can do that. We certainly have enough that we can buy a little more. And over $500 was collected for that. So to me, that was an example of people, if you give them an opportunity and say, you can do this, step up, everyone doing a little bit, made 4,000 pounds of food. So I said, okay, we're having this organizing meeting. No one comes in the door without non-perishable foods. Wednesday, with the people that were there, we collected 5 big boxes of food, 10 bags of food that we took right here to the IFC. And they said, you know, our shelves are bare. People are coming in every day now, more than ever. So even if we only do a food drive on a regular basis as a community, we will be making a difference. So that's just an example. Okay. Orange County Campaign for Change said we need to celebrate this inauguration and we need to bring the community together. A few people started, put a committee together, did a lot of communication by email and under Craig Perrin's leadership and Denise Dickinson, Marla Vickers, Alan Spalt. They pulled off a wonderful celebration here at the Century Center on January 18th. Over 500 people came from all parts of the community. The diversity of the participants, to me, that's healing. That's one of the things you had said before the program, you know, well, what kind of change do you want to see? One of the things we have to do is start healing from the brokenness that we've experienced over the last 8 years. You know, that sense that we can't do anything, that whatever we do is, you know, going to be met with resistance. So there's just the healing that needs to go on so people can feel like they can make a difference.
I think you're right. I mean, I'm awfully glad to see the healing, too. One of the things that I have wondered about, I have done a bit of reading about how Obama has worked in different capacities, for instance, when he was at the Harvard Law Review, and noticing that one of the things he's been especially interested in is our notion of rights and responsibilities. Now, in this country, we're really very fond of invoking my rights, mm-hmm. my rights, what are our rights? You know, and but we really haven't heard, you know, a lot about what are my rights and the responsibilities mm-hmm. that go along with those right. rights. And I know he was interested in that constitutionally, but we have also a problem in this country that has been going on, growing for 30 years. I mean, we tend to conflate democracy and capitalism. Mm. We tend to think that they go together, that mm-hmm. they have to go together. Right. And we have seen increasingly that that's not true. In fact, capitalism has spread around the globe. I mean, China's about to be the, what is it, second, third largest, you know, capitalist mm-hmm. country. But things like civil rights, human rights, democracy are not part of that mm-hmm. equation. So they are not necessarily, you know, right. To this one and the same thing. In fact, they are not one mm-hmm. and the same thing. And for every economic benefit, we focus so much on economic benefits mm-hmm. also in this country. We've been a traditionally affluent country, although it's changing and changing rapidly.
I was going to say, we're mm-hmm. kind of getting a spanking on that right now, aren't
right.
we?
But what I'm wondering is, are people also going to change their thinking about this? It's not because it's my belief that Wall Street and the industries that are getting this bailout money, ugh. They're just waiting for to go back to business as usual. Mm-hmm. Well, we can't afford to let that happen. So what? How do we do that? How do we organize on a grassroots level to keep that from happening, to help people change the way we think about it and not assume that it's okay to go back to business as usual?
Well, I'm concerned about that, too. I mean, I was glad to hear not only that our president rose up against that that $18 billion bonus package. I happened to read that myself yesterday in the New York Times in the morning and, you know, was just horrified. And not only did he respond, but he promises that we're going to see something, and I think we're all going to be watching. What's the payback going to be? And I do think that that's one of, you know, we don't know all the answers, but I think we have the right instincts as a community, and we're going to be looking for the leadership. And I think he's given us permission to say, you know, that's not exactly what we thought was going to happen. How are we going to do better on that? He has a website, whitehouse.gov, which I intend to use. I intend to go on that website, and when there's a place to say what I think, to say it and see how that information gets filtered up. I think that we all have to start calling on a regular basis our congressmen and senators. I had 3 emails between Wednesday and yesterday, one regarding the CHIP bill that Kay Hagan was going to be voting on, and 2 on environmental issues that they asked us to contact our representative and senators on. I think we have to do that in large numbers, respond to the legislative issues that are there that do have economic impact, that I think what you were talking about is, you know, how does economic justice and democracy go together as opposed to just capitalism and democracy, which, as you said, has been artificially conflated.
Yeah. And not just how do, you know, economic justice and democracy go together, but how do we understand really what democracy really is all about? That, in fact, it's about enabling people like us,
right.
you know, like our neighbors, to take action and to do the things that help to mitigate the social costs of mm-hmm. things like economic progress, mm-hmm. or you know, prosperity. There are whatever the benefits accrue to us economically, for instance, there are social costs involved too.
Yeah, and I think that that's exactly what we're seeing now with the way the economy is spiraling out, that the social costs and the economic cost,
inequality has grown.
I think someone was on the radio yesterday saying that what's happened is really a form of fascism, where you have privatized losses, socialized losses and privatized gains, and that's not democracy. And we have to get past that. And I think that if we don't learn any other lessons from what's happened in the last few months, that's one of them that we all have to take to heart.
Yeah, Robert Reich, I think, has quipped that we are, or written, but I remember just a quip about lemon socialism, that what we have, it's not really capitalism, it's in fact a kind of lemon socialism where the taxpayers, you know, we get the lemons.
Yeah.
Right? But it's the capitalists who take the profits.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
they're all there, you know, hands off as long as business is going well, but their hands are out as soon as things go wrong, mm-hmm. and they're getting the handouts, not people who really need them.
Well, I hope that people will be contacting their congressman about the, you know, just allowing that first pile of money to go out without any strings attached.
That
and everyone
amazing.
And everyone's saying now, "Oh gee, we're so surprised. We're not going to let this happen again." Well, why did it happen in the first place?
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. I'm going to have to take a moment here and mention that we are Triangle Wilf. The show is your Wilf wake-up call, and you can get more information about the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, which is a wonderful, very, very old and venerable organization, at trianglewilf.org. That's www.trianglewilf.org. And we want to thank our sponsor, which is the Independent Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street. This is a great little community resource. If you haven't been in there, stop in sometime. If they don't have a book on their shelves, they'll get it for you. And mm-hmm. it's a great place to go and meet people and talk about issues that are important in our community. And it also has been around a long time.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yes, it is a great resource. It's one of the things that keeps the soul in Chapel Hill, which we're losing gradually.
Yes, with all the development.
Yeah.
But I think I just... Oh, it's the Internationalist, but not the Independent Bookstore. It's the Internationalist Bookstore. I knew there was something wrong with that when I said that. And I looked at that and I said, Independent.
It's early.
Independent Weekly, but it's the Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street. Now, we're back with Diane Robertson talking about the Orange County Campaign for Change. And so, right now, you were saying that at the meeting, the most recent meeting, that service was a big component.
Yeah, very
component.
Big.
And the other component?
Well, community organizing. Those were the two groups that drew the most attention. And then political action, which I think, you know, is more the thing people think about when they think of
yes.
a political group, voter registration, voter education. Although I must say, I was the voter registration coordinator for the Orange County Democratic Party during this last election cycle. And it is the single most important thing that we did in Orange County to change the vote here. I think we've traditionally thought, oh, well, Orange County is always going to go Democratic. We got a little complacent about that, but there was a tremendous amount of responsibility on the Triangle, including Orange County and Durham, to supercharge their turnout and to make sure that all of the votes we could get, we did get. So the emphasis on voter registration and getting people to update their registration was critical, and we had 22,000 new registrations between January 1 and the election. And that made a difference, because anyone who was counting the numbers knew that we only won this election in North Carolina by 14,000 votes, which was 0.1%. Translate 0.5 vote a precinct in the state of North Carolina.
And that's a pretty narrow margin.
So we've got a lot of work to do for 2010 to make sure we do stay blue. And voter registration and voter education is a huge part of that. We want to stay on the right side of history, which was a great thing to do for North Carolina. It was just huge.
It really is. I was reading BBC, actually, that Obama attracted more than 3 million donors, donating about $650 million, and
that's
that
right.
is more than both candidates in 2004.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing about North Carolina that we should pay attention to, and I mentioned at our meeting, you know, change. You asked about changing attitudes or changing our constitutional thinking. I have children who most of their life lived with a presidency that was discouraging and a political system that was discouraging. When Clinton was president, they were too young to really grasp any of the essence of that. And that was a frightening thought, to think that their formative years were these jaded, dark ages, is the best way I can describe it. So it was imperative to me as a parent and potentially a grandparent, but certainly for the cohort group of my children and their children, that, you know, we make a stand to make a big effort to make a change. So engaging them in this election and seeing how engaged the young people became was truly a godsend. It was a blessing that here was a candidate that they could grasp and latch on to. I think for those of us who worked in the campaign office, the rewarding thing were the children bringing their parents into the office with their lemonade stand money, with making posters. There was a lot of that all over the country. Young people who got the message and said, I can't vote, but my parents can. Let's go down to the Obama office and do something. So we have to build on that. We have to build on the enthusiasm, not just of their work, but those are the candidates of the future. Those are the Obamas of the future. And we really need to, as a community, encourage the kind of candidate that he was. I mean, you know, it was almost a no-brainer here for us in terms of a fantastic candidate with a great message that we were able to get the community behind him. We have to keep that up. And one of the ways to do that is to get keep young people engaged. North Carolina and Indiana were the only two states in the country where the youth vote made a difference. If we had not had the youth vote we had, 18 to 35 in North Carolina, Obama would not have won.
Wow.
And that has to do, obviously, with the concentration of universities and colleges, but also the vitality of who's coming into the state. That's a great resource. We've got to build on that.
Yeah. I certainly hope that we will. And again, I mean, I hope that we're looking at, when we talk about change, I mean, there's cyclical change, there's more substantive structural change. And what we need is structural
change.
Changes.
Yeah.
And that's a tall order. But it's something I hope that this campaign is going to. Now, how are you all connected with the, for instance, the Democratic Party's national, they have this special project, I guess they're calling it now, that's called Organizing for America.
Well, we're not sure how we're connected yet, because that isn't totally off the ground. And like a lot of things with the campaign, it's being formed and responding to the demands of the community. My understanding is that the DNC will, of course, have a lot of people from the Obama campaign as part of it, and that Organizing for America will be a project of that. And I'm hoping when they come to North Carolina that Orange County Campaign for Change and some of the other groups will form a partnership with Organizing for America. But we don't know what that's going to look like, so we're going to move forward until they get here, and we'll see what
Great.
Happens.
I want you to tell us when your next meeting is, and also, do you have contact information?
Yeah, well, we're going to have a website up, we hope, within a week, but in the meantime, you can look on mybarackobama.com and just sign up there. It'll say future meeting, and people can sign up there so they'll be contacted. They can also email.
That's my.barackobama, isn't it?
You can go barackobama.com and go under events, put in your zip code, and it'll take you there. You can also email me at dianerobertson9@gmail.com and say you're interested in information, and we'll get you a registration form and get you in the database.
That's great. Looking over your... I would like for you, too, to read the statement of purpose that you brought.
The steering committee got together, and we worked on a brief, but we thought inclusive statement of purpose that reads, "The Orange County Campaign for Change is a volunteer grassroots organization dedicated to local, regional, and global progress. We support initiatives which combine community and democratic ideals with direct action to meet the civic demands of all Orange County communities. Our foundational goal is to translate the enormous political change that has taken place on the state and national level into a local plan of action that will improve our communities and rebuild our state and nation by creating real and meaningful change on a local human scale. Orange County Campaign for Change accomplishes its goals through political education and community organizing that respects and empowers every resident of Orange County. Specific goals include expanding voter participation through voter registration and voter education, organizing community building and community action projects, working with elected political leaders to ensure accountability and transparency to the electorate, and organize active collaborative support for President Obama's plan to renew America's promise."
That's good. That's nice. Is there any... I know Lori, my co-host, is very involved and interested in, well, I guess we all have been over this out of necessity, the war and Afghanistan. Was there any discussion of how we influence the president and the Congress to focus more strongly? I think they are. I think they're actually already moving in that direction on diplomacy, because his instructions have already been, mm-hmm, go there and listen first.
Exactly.
You know, on diplomacy and, you know, trying to reconstruct relationships and countries and not destroy them.
And my hope is that as we grow the organization and as interest groups develop within the organization, they will find, yes, here's an issue that's come up, we need to respond to it, and then we'll have the base of people that will respond in a positive, mm-hmm, and constructive way to our local leaders and the president. Okay. So I'm sure the war is going to be an issue just because of the nature of our community.
Right. And so you all are looking at not just creating a structure where you can take local action, but where there'll be something in place where you can galvanize,
exactly,
and mobilize people as needed.
Exactly. I think our working motto is to be nimble, productive, and efficient. Not about meetings, but about action.
That's good. Nimble, productive, and efficient. Yes, that sounds good. It's like what we need. Diane, I want to thank you very much.
Oh, I want to thank you. This is a wonderful community resource to get the conversation going in our own community.
Yes, this is a great little radio station, and WILF is a wonderful organization, and I really am impressed with what you all are doing. First of all, what you helped to do to bring this victory, and it has been. You're wearing a button that says,
yeah,
"Hope won," and I have to say that is true. I have felt much more hopeful and less like a dark cloud is hanging,
yeah,
over my head,
exactly,
ever since.
And just being free, that gives us energy to move forward.
It does help. You're right. Mm-hmm. It does help. And once more, tell them the contact information if they need to reach you. Want to reach you.
For now, you can reach me at dianerobertson9@gmail.com. That's Diane with one N. And we'll also have something up on the Barack Obama website so that you can at least register your name. And when we have our website up, we will contact you, and you'll be able to be in touch and know what's going on through the website.
Thank you, Diane. And you have been listening to your WILF wake-up call, coming to you for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And this is WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your all-volunteer community radio station. Thank you, and join us again next week.